White stars form a halo over a snow-capped mountain peak. Paramount, a Viacom company. A faint letter A drops out of blackness on a length of twine to help spell Paramount Pictures Presents.
Tonight was your first time at the club, wasn't it?
No, I've been there a few times before.
Really? Well, how come I haven't seen you?
I noticed you the first night I walked in. You always stand out.
Well, thank you. Well, how come it took you till tonight to talk to me? You're shy, are you?
Maybe a little.
Morgan Freeman, Monica Potter. Along came a spider. Michael Wincott, Penelope Ann Miller.
You okay with this? Just taking off with someone you hardly know?
I trust myself.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I believe in human nature. You know, that people are basically good.
You're right. Most people are.
Dylan Baker, Michael Moriarty, Mika Borum.
Tracy, yeah. You spell that with a Y, or an I-E?
I-E. Guys are always assuming I'm a T-R-A-C-Y. Oh, I hate guys who assume.
Me too.
Lines of pixels change color.
You look like a James.
Nope, just Jim.
Hello, Jimmy.
No, just Jim.
You are shy.
A sports car's under covert surveillance from a helicopter.
Look, there's something I've been meaning to tell you. I think you got beautiful hair.
You think so?
Yeah.
Brown bag, this is Brown Bird. We have audiovisual.
You think it's sexy?
Brown bag, closing to one click.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing sexier than short hair and a beautiful woman.
What is it about big hair that turns men on?
What is it about big hair that turns guys on, anyway?
Bad taste. Look at me. I want to see your eyes.
A detective's listening from a ground vehicle.
Innocent. Just the way I like them.
That's him. That's our man.
Car is registered to a Jim Galway.
Brown bag, this is Brown bag.
It's dark and the suspected serial killer passes a sign for the Virginia Falls Dam. He touches Tracy's thigh. Detective Cross watches on a hidden camera.
He's testing Tracy. Tell him he's got the Midas touch.
You got the Midas touch.
That's because I'm God's gift to women.
He gives her a naughty smile.
You know what I think you are?
Unbuckling his seatbelt.
I think you're a natural-born cocksucker. And I think it's time you did what you were born to do.
No.
He finds her earpiece and rips it out.
What the fuck is this?
Oh, shit.
Fucking bitch!
Bust him.
Brown bird, brown bag. Move in. Take him now.
Pull your vehicle to the side of the road and keep your hands right.
Fuck! Police! Pull over. Now!
I got him, Alex.
When Jim accelerates, Tracy shoots his leg and the convertible collides with a wall and plows through a barrier opposite. Jim plunges into the roaring dam water far below, but Tracy's left buckled into the car, dangling precariously over the edge. Cross and colleagues arrive.
Call for help now! Tracy! Hold on! Don't move! Stay where you are! Stay still!
She glances back, terrified. The vehicle lurches.
Tracy! Hold on! We're gonna get you! Come on, guys! I'm out!
It's not about the kids! Give me a hand!
Hold on!
A steel cable snaps.
Tracy!
The car ricochets off the dam wall and plummets hundreds of feet into the turbulent depths. Cross is left reaching out helplessly, his eyes glistening with guilt and sorrow. A rainy, overcast day. Cars are dropping children off by the grand pillared portico of a stately building. Nearby, a young blonde girl gets out of a sleek black car.
Hey, Hannah.
Hi, Megan.
I hope you don't have that big math test.
Чего меня позорите впереди моих друзей каждый день?
Дмитрий, пожалуйста.
Джези.
Hey, Megan.
Джези. Guess you called me again last night.
Oh, let's see. Good morning, Dimitri.
Hey, Megan, I downloaded some really cool gifts. You want to see them?
Yeah, sure. What are they?
Hey, June Flanagan.
The attractive Jesse Flanagan signs in two men in trench coats.
Control, check in Struda, Bob, and Rose.
Check. Hey, Jess, what do we call the Ruskies these days? Russians? Former Soviets? I forget.
New World Order Divine. Get used to it.
Charles Lindbergh, Lucky Lindy, or the Lone Eagle, as he was called, is our subject today because he was the first man to what? Megan?
Fly over the Atlantic?
Very good. First man to fly solo nonstop from New York City to Paris. And that was 1927. An astonishing accomplishment. Which brings us to today's assignment. Let's see which of you can navigate, or fly, if you will, from our homepage to our hero's website here in the fewest number of links. All right, and you're off.
The bearded and bespectacled teacher strolls through his class of obedient young students as they type and mouse click at their computer terminals. He passes Megan, who flashes him a cheerful smile, and then stops at the back to see that Dimitri is one of the first to reach the Lindbergh website.
That's very clever, Dimitri.
Dimitri, who has short, curly, dark hair, opens a chat window with a photo of basketball star Michael Jordan and types the word Mr., followed by a dollar sign, question mark, star, asterisk, and smiley face. He sends this message to Megan. She smiles, and the screen reads, Message decoded. She replies with a series of brackets, an asterisk, and question marks, above which a photo of two deer is displayed.
Megan, might I have a word with you?
Send me a seat, okay?
Okay.
Come to my office. Take a seat.
He shuts the office door.
Now, Megan, you know I understand the particular pressures of your life. Father being who he is, enormous expectations. All adds up to rather a lot, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
But none of that excuses your breaking the honor code.
What?
All about you and Dimitri, Megan. We don't tolerate cheating now, do we?
Cheating? Mr. Sanji, there's been a mistake. We only pass notes, you know, jokes and stuff.
Megan, before you go any further, best have a look at that.
Mr. Sanji passes Megan a folder.
Mr. Sanji?
Yes?
This essay, it isn't mine.
Beg your pardon?
He walks up behind her to take a look.
Oh, my. Oh, dear girl, I'm... dear, dear.
He clamps his hand over her mouth. A piece of prosthetic skin comes away in her hand as she claws at his face. Flanagan walks into the canteen where the children are eating lunch. Sanji is using fixing spray to put his prosthetic back into place. Then he drags Megan's body across the floor.
Harry, why is the door locked? Oh my God, what happened?
She's collapsed. She's just collapsed. I'll tell you what, you stay with her. I'll get some help.
Okay. Megan. Hey, sweetheart, can you hear me? Megan?
He garrots her.
Hey, Jesse.
Hi, Kyla. Hey, Hannah, where's Megan?
She's with Mr. Sanji.
The teacher, Amy, is now dead. Sanji shuts a briefcase containing a computer screen, placing it on top of a fake computer cabinet, the side of which he opens.
Control, I'm en route to Sanji's classroom.
I'm sure it's just a meeting that went long.
Well, it's against procedure. Mr. Sanji should know better.
He places the unconscious Megan inside the empty cabinet, then closes the door. Flanagan's heading for the classroom. Sanji's pushing the computer cabinet down the hallway. Classroom's empty.
His office.
Now he's pushing the cabinet through the school grounds.
Mr. Sanji, Secret Service, open up. Mr. Sanji! Do you have a key?
Loading the cabinet into a van.
I'm sorry, there seems to be something stuck in here.
Stand back.
The security gate. Flanagan and the head teacher find Amy dead.
Control shut down, stop all vehicles, lock on Sanji and Rose.
Soneji pulls out onto the road and drives off. Divine and two armed men sprint past the security gate and aim their guns at his vehicle, but they're unable to obtain a clear line of fire through the traffic. At his home, Alex Cross, a black man nearing 60 with haggard features and a trim beard, is wearing a pair of magnifying goggles and using tweezers to secure thread to a piece of metal that's jutting from the side of a model ship. A woman walks in from an adjoining room, setting down a cup on the table next to him. Now he's using the tweezers to pull on another thread, which raises the sails of the ship. She takes a seat opposite him.
So, how many of these bolts you have to make before you become shipshape?
He flashes her a critical look.
I have never seen a man work so hard at looking busy. Alex, it's been 8 months. It's time you forgave yourself.
Looking up from his ship, Cross pushes his goggles back onto his head and rubs his eyes.
Vicky, you know that forgiving yourself is the one thing a person cannot do.
Her eyes glisten with unshed tears of sympathy. She kisses her hand and touches it to Cross's face. Then walks off.
Choose to make contact. We are currently trying to put the pieces together as to how and why this man would murder a teacher and kidnap a young student. Here's a photograph of the missing student. Megan Ann Rose is 12 years old, blonde hair with hazel eyes. She's 3 feet, 5 inches tall and weighs about 52 pounds. She was last seen inside the school with a suspect around noon today. We have just received information that senior FBI and Secret Service officials have arrived at the family home of Senator Rose. We will go there live as soon as we have our satellite feed. Technicians are setting up extra telephone lines in the Rose home, all in preparation for the kidnapping.
Having stripped himself of the prosthetics and wig, Sanji puts them into a bag. He drops it over the side of the boat he's on, which is called the Sea Dreamer, and then heads below deck. He unbolts three locks on a wooden door, then opens it. Megan's inside, lying on the floor. Sanji, who has short dark hair and a chiseled face, crouches down beside the young girl, who stirs fitfully in her sleep. He holds a tape recorder near her mouth.
Please. I just want to go home.
The FBI and police are on the lookout for this man, Gary Sonji. This is a recent school photograph.
We only know that he has disappeared with the 12-year-old daughter of Senator Hank Rose. How and why is on the mind.
Police are trying to find out who this man really is, his motives for killing teacher Amy Masterson, and the kidnapping of Megan Rose. We go back live to join reporter Allison Peretsky, who has been at the scene since law enforcement officials arrived.
Thank you, Jeannie. It's now approximately 4 hours.
Yeah.
Tuned into me, Dr. Cross?
Sounds like Allison Peretsky and WMKW Action News.
Gary Sanji?
That'll do for now.
How'd you get this number?
Unlisted numbers. Come on, Alex. There's no such thing. It's all out there in the air. Just have to know how to grab it.
Hey, how do you feel about my kidnapping being bigger news than your little tragedy there with Jim Galway?
You know, you really ought to give an interview about what happened that night. You know what they say about sharing your pain? It's
very cathartic.
Thanks, but I'm doing okay.
Well, see, now that's good to hear. That's very good. I thought for a while there you wouldn't be able to get your act back together, and that would be a great shame.
I've been planning for a long, long time to involve you in the fate of our little Miss Muffet.
Megan. Do you have trouble saying her name?
First name rapport is like hostage negotiations 101. Now, come on, Alex, you can do better than that, can't you?
You think you're going to dissect me in three blinks of an eye?
Not that easy. But with a little patience and a little help, he just might profile me to a T.
What makes you think I'm interested?
They say that when I die, the case will die. They say it will be like a book I close.
But the book, it will never close.
Very poetic. What the hell is it?
I've left you something for your visit with the roses tonight. You'll find it in your cold,
corrugated mailbox.
It's time to get back to work, Dr. Cross.
Switching off the recording device he was using, Cross dashes outside. The sun's shining when Cross runs down the steps outside his house. Heading towards the mailbox, he casts a wary look up and down the quiet suburban street. Then he opens the mailbox door, peers inside, and pulls out a red walking boot. He stares at it. Nighttime's drawing in when the sea dreamer pulls off from the quiet jetty where it was moored. Cross is driving through the nighttime streets of Washington.
Megan, do you have trouble saying the name?
Cross switches off the tape. Police cars, journalists, and TV cameras are outside a large white house. Cross drives up and shows his ID to a man on the gates.
Sorry, detective, this is a federal case.
I've been invited.
Bobby, we have a detective down here, and they have a piece of evidence proving the case.
Alex?
Special Agent Craig. Well, I'll be. Dare I ask? In my mailbox. Anything else? That'll get you inside.
Terry. Get this from the car there. Who's in charge?
Ollie MacArthur.
Pedigreed Phoebe. Made his bones busting wackos in the Seattle office.
Sanji, clean?
Clean. Squeaky. Fibers look generic. Fingerprints, nada. The whole school's a goddamn forensic vacuum. All he left us was one very neatly strangled teacher. Heads are gonna roll at the Secret Service. Huh. Jesse Flanagan, Alex Cross. Agent Flanagan was in charge of the Secret Service detail at Cathedral.
Dr. Cross.
Agent Flanagan.
I've read your books on profiling. Obviously not close enough, but...
Kyle, the shoe was ID'd by the roses. It's Megan's.
Dr. Alex Cross, special agent in charge.
Oliver MacArthur.
How do you do, sir?
Alex, I'll catch you later.
Forensics.
Yes, sir.
Senator and Mrs. Rose are through here. But before we talk to them, you any idea why Sonji is involving you?
Not at all.
This way.
Excuse me. Shouldn't Agent Flanagan be in the room with us?
Not a good idea. Miss Flanagan is not welcome.
But she's a material witness.
She failed the roses, and she failed the service.
I think Agent MacArthur has a point.
No, he's missing the point. You saw Sonji every day, 5 days a week, for how long?
2 years.
You have no idea how much you know about this case.
Flanagan's eyes move from MacArthur to Cross and back.
Agent Flanagan.
MacArthur nods at her.
They say that when I die, the case will die. They say it will be like a book I close. But the book, it will never close.
Very poetic. What the hell is it?
I've left you something for your visit with the Roses tonight. You'll find it in your cold, corrugated mailbox.
Mr. and Mrs. Rose look shocked.
Well, for what it's worth, that's Sanji. His speech pattern's the same.
Is he, are we dealing with a sex maniac? Someone who might, you know.
No, sir. This man has no such interest in your daughter. She's merely a means to an end.
What do you mean?
I see no standard procedure in anything he's done.
I disagree. This is a professional kidnapping. It's going to be about money, which is good.
But you're saying it isn't about money.
I think he wants to draw this out. From what he said, whatever his motives, it's very unusual.
Mrs. Rose looks thoughtful.
What did he mean about the book? That it will never close?
I honestly don't know.
Well, I think I do. Let me tell you what this Gary Sonji is up to. The last thing he wants is good crisis management. What he wants is to confuse. Rancor, mixed signals, disorientation, those are his tools. So he calls a local cop. A damaged cop shouldering some heavy baggage. He's using Dr. Cross as his messenger.
Excuse me. The man that kidnapped our daughter didn't call you. So your agenda is what? To insult the man he did call?
Mrs. Rose, I never intend...
No, you wait a second. A madman has our daughter, and for some reason he contacted this man. Do you know why?
No, ma'am. Not yet.
Mr. Rose looks at his worried wife with an expression of deep concern. On board the Sea Dreamer, Megan comes to and sits up. Sonji's upstairs watching Megan on a security camera. Bleary-eyed, Megan looks up at one corner of the cell where there's a small porthole and a camera pointing towards her.
Hello. You okay?
Flanagan looks up.
You, got any tips for helpless situations?
Well, you could smoke a carton a day. Or you could bounce back.
Yeah, well, I don't see anywhere to bounce to.
Like to get out of here?
She nods. Flanagan's with Cross, who's driving through the city's streets.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
What did MacArthur mean when he referred to you as damaged?
Cross looks away.
Last summer, I let a sting operation get out of control. My partner was killed.
Flanagan stares at him. Sonji runs below deck and takes the boiling kettle off the heat. Then he opens the door to Megan's cell.
Hey, Megan.
How are you?
Lovely to see you. Do you recognize my voice?
She looks fearful.
It's me. Mr. Sonji.
He smiles.
He brought you that. Lovely cup of tea with honey. I know your throat's sore, it'll make you feel better. There you go. It's all right.
You have nothing to be scared of, Megan.
I'm not scared.
Good. But you're wondering what's going on.
I know what's going on. You're a kidnapper and you're a sick weirdo.
Megan, you're the most opinionated girl in my class. Think you got that from your mom?
I want to go home.
You will. Just promise me you're going to behave yourself. Okay? So, now listen. If you need to use the bathroom or anything at all, just press that, okay?
I want to go home. Now.
Oh, look, I brought you some fresh clothes.
Please! Mr. Soji, please!
This is a fine gun.
It's Turkish. Handmade, 1924.
That is nice.
My daddy won it in a game of poker. Aces and eights.
Dead man's hand.
That's about as much as I know about my father. Have a seat.
Cross picks up a photo of Amy from Flanagan's kitchen table.
Do you know of any relationship between Amy Masterson and Sanji?
Amy, no way. Why do you ask?
He strangled her. It's an act of passion. It's a demonstration of will. A message. Take me seriously. What do you see?
Dr. Cross.
Alex.
Alex. Women's intuition, third eye, sixth sense, whatever it is, I don't have it.
Sure you do. You just don't look at it right. Every face has two aspects. Now try looking at it down the middle, one side at a time. Would you say this man was confident?
Yeah.
Narcissistic?
I wouldn't know.
You ever see any flashes of hatred?
No.
Anger?
No.
Hostility?
No. Look, everything about him was right. He was always patient, he was pleasant, he had a sense of humor. I mean, he was the perfect teacher.
A look of realization dawns on her face. She sits back in her chair.
What do you see?
I see.
No, I mean about me. What do you see about me? Well, that's why you're here, isn't it? Size me up. Evaluate your primary material witness.
He considers.
I see that you're about to start an argument.
Well, I need to help get her back.
What makes you think I want a partner?
You don't.
That's right.
I can understand that.
No, you can't.
Can I tell you why I don't care?
Shoot.
Unfolding her arms, she leans on the table.
When I was assigned to Cathedral, it was a job I didn't want. It's a far cry from working rope lines or flying Air Force One, but I have been there for 3 years. I have been responsible for Megan for 3 years. And that little girl means more to me than even a partner. Can you understand that?
He looks grave.
I suppose so. But even if I say no anyway, you'll probably just follow me around wherever I go. So, if there's a choice between having you as a partner or as a stalker, I guess I'll take my chances with a partner.
She smiles faintly and nods.
Thank you.
Daytime. Flanagan's waiting inside the cathedral school's grounds with Cross. Blue police barriers block the security entrance.
Student drop-off is there. That's my morning post, student sign-in. Cameras are there, 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 and there. Motion sensors all around the periphery.
Foolproof way to keep the kooks out.
Exactly. We were always looking in the wrong direction.
Which door did he go out?
That one there. It's a straight shot to his parking space.
Cross nods at the door.
Let's go in.
They head inside the school.
His classroom.
Mm-hmm.
He was teaching the kids how everything on the internet is connected.
Alex, you got a sec?
Sure.
Listen,
I think turf wars are a total waste of time. If I was out of line last night, I apologize.
Don't. I've been there.
Hey, anything you need, let me know, huh?
Sure, Meg.
Dr. Cross, you might want to see this.
He walks across to Agent Hickley, an investigator who's sitting at a computer terminal.
This is Megan's desk?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Scoping GIFs, graphic interchange formats. And they're all Stego encrypted. Somewhere among the billions of zeros and ones making up this image is a string of text.
Oh, I know about this. It's the cutting-edge method of passing notes in class. It's driving the teachers nuts.
How long before you can access it?
Try never. You don't crack Stego without a password.
Would you take me to his office?
Flanagan nods.
But when you find Sonji, ask him for the password. He planted a monitoring virus on the girl's hard drive. Every keystroke Megan hit, Sonji was recording it.
Cross and Flanagan leave the classroom.
It's a good move, Jez. Angling for a position with the DCPD. I like that.
Dr. Cross, Agent Ben Devine. Agent Devine is security system supervisor.
Well, for now, we're going to be thrown to the wolves as soon as they find Megan Rose dead in a ditch.
Now, what makes you so sure that's what's going to happen?
Me getting fired or the girl in a ditch? Sorry. I'm having a pessimistic day.
Tell me. Sonji, did he ever show any interest in what you do? How you do it?
The man never talked to me. I never talked to him.
Well, thanks for your time.
Flanagan and Cross walk away. In Sonji's office, there's a white taped outline marking the position of where Amy's body was found. As forensics officers document the scene, Cross wanders across the room and looks at a side table, which is cluttered with circuit boards, wires, and other electrical paraphernalia. He then surveys the items on Sonji's desk, which include a telephone and a small statue. His attention is drawn to something on the wall.
Hello?
What?
What do you think that is?
A picture frame.
An empty frame.
Otherwise known as...
a missing picture.
Cross sits at a computer monitor examining webcam footage of the empty classroom. The image pans from side to side, giving a 180-degree view of the classroom. Cross turns to look at some photos of well-known celebrities and historical figures that have been pinned up on the walls at the back of the room. He then looks back at the screen, focusing on yet more pictures mounted at the front of the classroom. Flanagan looks over at them. They include shots of Che Guevara and Marlon Brando.
You want to something?
Cross holds a finger up. Using the mouse, he manipulates the image again, this time closing in on part of the wall that includes a photo of Charles Lindbergh. He sees that the photo is now missing from the classroom wall and taps his finger on the monitor to point out the discrepancy.
A missing picture.
Ah, Mr. Sonji. As a sense of humor. He didn't just kidnap a little girl, he turned it into a game. Okay. Let's see what you know, Mr. Lindbergh.
As Cross zooms in on the photo of Lindbergh, a number of his colleagues are looking over his shoulder.
My.
What do you got?
Dr. Cross isn't in cyberspace anymore. You're at a live site, looking through a video camera. Those arrows down there, move it.
The image zooms out.
Where are we?
guess we were the Sonja's home. Now we're supposed to find out where that is.
Oliver MacArthur's office.
Yeah, it's me. Hold on.
How about the files?
Zooming in on some files in the cluttered room that's appeared on the monitor, Cross pans the image over to a framed document on the wall.
There. On the wall.
Can you zoom in there?
Yeah.
What's that?
Jonathan M...
E... M-E... M-E...
Hold on.
L?
You can't move that around, can you? It's stationary. Go back.
Oh, there's something somewhere. It's okay.
Right there.
There.
What? You can zoom.
Focus. There.
Bingo. M-E-R.
Merc. Mercutio. M-E-R-C-U-S-I-O.
1432 35 Granville.
Gary Sonji is also known as Mercutio. Jonathan, 1435 Granville Street. Well done, Alice.
Cross continues to stare at the screen. A SWAT team breaks down the door of a house and enters with guns at the ready. MacArthur follows them in, with Cross and Flanagan a short distance behind. As MacArthur heads up some stairs, Cross stands taking in his surroundings. Cross and Flanagan climb to the next floor, Cross putting on a pair of rubber gloves as he does so. The house is large and sprawling. As police officers start searching it, Cross focuses on a notice board hanging on a wall. It's covered with photos, newspaper clippings, and various documents. Alongside photos of Charles Lindbergh are ones featuring a smiling Megan with her school friends and with her family. There are photos of the cathedral school, as well as a detailed schematic of the building's interior, on which a detailed route has been mapped out.
His surveillance was better than ours.
He's been at this for years.
A clipping. Cop dies in botched sting.
Imagine the patience. The dedication.
You sound like an admirer.
Well, he's like a spider. And I happen to like spiders.
He removes a book from a shelf.
He's got an elaborate setup here, boss. You want to see how he stayed clean at school? It laminates a plastic veneer over your hands. Look at this. Foam rubber. Looks like he was wearing prosthetic appliances.
I understand the Secret Service are being cautious tonight. There is speculation that a full investigation is underway into how Gary Sonji was able to kidnap a student from right under their cameras.
Yes, Sonji's cruising slowly through the night in his small motor yacht when he's hailed by a Coast Guard vessel. It shines a powerful search beam at him. Megan listens at the door of her cell. Sonji switches off a monitor that's displaying a video feed of her and readies a handgun.
Evening!
Help! Help me!
You got a Rule 21 problem. No running lights.
Again? I just replaced the fuses yesterday.
Help! Help!
Sir, no running lights. You're gonna have to follow us in.
Help! Please help me!
Well... I need to see what I can do with the fuse box. Hold on.
I'm in here! Help me! Help!
Sonji turns on the running lights, then returns to speak to the Coast Guard crewmen.
How's that? Thanks a lot, fellas.
Help! Help me, please!
With the Coast Guard vessel gone, Sanji switches the cell surveillance monitor back on and opens up the boat's throttle. The yacht cruises off into the darkness.
And before the hood was pulled over his head, he bragged to his executioner. They think that when I die, the case will die. They think it will be like a book I close. But the book, it will never close. Sanji was quoting the final words of Richard Bruno Hauptmann.
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
1932. The infant son of Charles Lindbergh, America's greatest hero, was kidnapped. When Bruno Hauptmann was arrested, what followed became known as the crime of the century.
I believe that Sanji wants to do the same thing.
You think we're dealing with a copycat?
Something like that.
Dr. Cross, what does he want from you?
He's brought me in and left this trail because he wants me to make sure that he's properly appreciated.
But in order for him to achieve this, he has to kill me.
No, not necessarily. The death of the Lindbergh baby was accidental. Nevertheless, it's critical that we pull his strings. The more we make him a living legend, the more likely he is to keep Megan alive.
Dr. Cross, you've been brought into this case. What can you tell us about Gary Sanji?
I can tell you that Sanji is very determined, obviously highly capable, and we consider him a serious adversary. Megan Rose is Gary Sanji's ace. As long as he has her, he's in control.
Sanji's filling a kettle in the cabin of the motor yacht, while in her cell, Megan pulls the cover off an intercom and sees there's a small battery pack inside it.
Sir, would you assign as many agents to this case if she wasn't a senator's daughter?
The size of our task force is a reflection of who Gary Sonji is, not Megan Rose.
Mr. Sonji?
You can parse the words if you'd like.
Hello?
I need to go to the bathroom.
All right, be right there.
No, not at this time.
Removing the battery, Megan hurriedly puts the cover of the intercom back on. Looking apprehensive, she stands waiting for Sanji to open the door, then quickly grabs a mug from her makeshift bed. When Sanji lets her out, she goes straight to the cabin's small galley and coughs to hide the fact that she's turned a gas ring on. She drops the battery pack into the flames at the same time. Going into the toilet, she locks the door behind her, then puts her ear to it, listening. She then looks through a small window and sees the boats anchored not far from the shoreline. Sanji's typing into a computer. You're the only one I can trust. Ignited by the flames from the gas ring, the battery pack begins to smoke. Suddenly, it explodes. The oven hob and much of the galley is engulfed in fire, and Sanji grabs an extinguisher. While he tackles the blaze, Megan makes a run for it.
Hey!
She rushes past him and jumps off the stern of the boat into the water. As Sanji finishes putting out the fire, Megan's desperately swimming for the shore. There's an angler standing on the beach, but he's listening to music on earphones and so doesn't notice her. The man finally spots Megan thrashing in the water, and he wades in to help her. Meanwhile, Sanji's powering up the yacht.
Help me!
I'm coming! Hold on!
He steers it towards Megan. The angler's only a few feet from her when he's struck by several bullets. Sanji shot him with his pistol. The kidnapper maneuvers the boat alongside Megan, then he pulls her towards the vessel with a boat hook. He drags the girl on board, leaving the dead fisherman to float face up in the water.
So keep you warm. There you go. Megan, you promised me you were going to behave yourself. Because of you, what you've done, that man is dead. Now, promise me. Promise me you're going to be a good little girl, okay? Say yes, Mr. Sanji. Say yes, Mr. Sanji.
Yes, Mr. Sanji.
Okay. Let's go have a cup of tea.
A 4x4 approaches a small fleet of parked cars, many of them marked police vehicles with flashing lights. They're all parked on a raised embankment, not far from the isolated shoreline where the angler was murdered. The 4x4 pulls up, and Cross and Flanagan get out. They head down towards the beach, where a police team are examining the body of the dead man.
I'd say 8 hours, about 9 a.m. Slugs are large caliber. Shots hit him here, here. Kill shot tapped him, crown of the head.
This here is Thomas Matthias. He found all this. This way.
Stepping over to where a sodden garment is lying near the water. Cross picks it up and shows Flanagan a name tag sewn into the collar. It reads, Megan Rose. Offshore, police divers enter the water from an inflatable boat. Flanagan stands staring out to sea.
She's not in the water, Jesse. Sanji still has her.
There's no way of knowing that.
Well, think about it. Megan is precious cargo. Sanji's not gonna let some twist of fate bring her harm. Right?
But why Megan? Why her?
He considers this.
Where are you going?
Back to the city. We'll talk in the car. You ask why Megan? And that's the question you should have been asking right from the start. Why Megan? Who is Senator Hank Rose? Nobody. Most people don't even know who he is, never heard of him. Couldn't pick him out of a lineup. This case is front page news now. Where will it be in 2 months? A year? Oblivion. Know why? Because Senator Hank Rose is no Charles Lindbergh.
Well, okay, then who is?
Ah. There's the troublesome question. Come on, Jesse. 2 years, 5 days a week. You know Sanji. Who's a bigger fish than Megan Rose?
Nighttime, and the rain's pouring down at the main gate of a large mansion where two guards have been posted. Inside a bedroom in the mansion, Dimitri is sitting at a computer doing some homework studies. A well-dressed man opens the door of the room and looks in on Dimitri, who merely glances at him.
Все нормально, Дим?
Да.
Спокойной ночи.
Спокойной ночи.
The bodyguard closes the door again, and Dimitri decodes a message he's received. Dimitri, you're the only one I can trust. Sanji has helpers. Trust no one, tell no one. He's coming. We'll explain later. Gotta go. The bodyguard speaks to another man downstairs.
Dr. Cross, Agent Flanagan, We appreciate your concern, but Dmitry is fine. And our security services are more than capable of protecting the son of the Russian president.
Can we at least talk to him?
Nothing would please us more than to be of help. But speaking to Dmitry right now would be inappropriate.
Thanks for your time.
Cross and Flanagan leave. Sonji's sitting in a car, typing a computer message. Can you get to a public phone outside the embassy? Dmitry receives the message and replies, yes, I have a way. Call who? Flanagan looks troubled as she and Cross return to their car.
What?
Well, MacArthur's dragnetting the bay, right? And, I mean, he's not really missing us, so I was thinking maybe we could just stick around and, you know, scope out the place a bit.
Agent Flanagan, are you suggesting a stakeout here?
Yeah, you know, stale coffee, some donuts.
No. That's a first-class stakeout, Agent Flanagan. What you're talking about here would be no frills. You'd only get to think about stale coffee and donuts.
Well, I can handle it if you can.
Inside the mansion, the bodyguard who checked up on Dmitry earlier sits smoking as he reads a newspaper next to some security monitors. Stubbing his cigarette out, he steps away from his post, and Dmitry, who's been watching him through a crack in a door, takes advantage of his absence to sneak out of his room. After a quick glance at the monitors, Dmitry hurries down some stairs, only just avoiding the bodyguard who's on his way back to his post. Dmitry hurries across a hallway. Sitting in the rain-lashed car, Flanagan glances over at Cross, who has his eyes closed.
I get the feeling you've done this a lot.
Oh, yeah. Every chance I get. Especially when it's cold and wet.
A police patrol car pulls up alongside the 4x4, and an officer aims a torch at them.
No parking here.
We're on the clock, officer.
Everything okay?
Everything's all right.
The police car drives on. Dmitry's making his way along a narrow, dank-floored basement passage. The patrol car pulls up next to a man in police uniform standing by the road. The driver speaks to him.
What's the problem?
Both officers in the patrol car were shot dead by the disguised Sonji.
Go ahead, Jesse.
What?
Have one.
Thank you.
Flanagan lights up a cigarette. She smokes it with her window slightly open. Cross seems to be dozing, as some way behind them, headlights approach out of the dark. It's the patrol car. Dmitry's reached a door with a security lock. He taps some digits into a number pad, then gently pushes the door open a crack. He spots a surveillance camera outside. The patrol car has parked some distance behind Cross and Flanagan's 4x4. Dmitry's carefully timed his sprint to a tree. Flanagan spots the boy running from the mansion.
Alex, that's Dmitry.
Dmitry's now walking towards a public telephone box. It's a short distance from the patrol car where Sonji sits waiting. Cross and Flanagan are both watching as Sonji steps from the vehicle. He's pulled a police cap onto his head, completing the uniform he's using as a disguise. Dimitri's in the phone box, dialing a number.
Jesse. It's him. It's him!
Flanagan starts the engine and quickly wheels the 4x4 around. Stepping towards the phone box, Sonji spots the car approaching and rushes back to the patrol vehicle. Flanagan and Cross pull up, get out, and point their guns at Sonji.
Sonji! Hold it right there!
He shoots at them, then gets in the patrol car.
Jesse! Shoot the tire!
Cross and Flanagan shoot Sonji's tires, making the reversing patrol car crash through a fire hydrant. The police vehicle's wheels spin in some mud, but then Sonji pulls away from the scene.
Jesse!
Russian security men arrive.
Police, don't shoot! Don't shoot!
They take Cross and Flanagan's weapons from them as Sonji makes his escape. The press have gathered outside the embassy. Flanagan and Cross are with a couple of Russian security men. Flanagan walks over to Dimitri.
Jesse, you're gonna get Megan back, right?
Yes, we are, I promise.
You need this to get Mr. Sonji.
I will. Thank you.
You talk to Hal. I want you to bring him up to speed. Well done, guys. Avert an international crisis and paint Sonji into a corner. Not bad for a night's work.
Incoming. Sonji ditched a patrol car near Reno Park. Hijacked a tan Sierra. Put one bullet in the driver's head. Last seen heading toward Route 50.
Annapolis. I knew it. 75,000 boats. Other marinas?
We're here, dead fishermen here. These, all the marinas, all locked down, patrol boats in each of them.
All right, listen up. We gotta move fast. Roadblock Route 50 and triple the surveillance on the harbors. I want two choppers on the pad in 5 minutes. Let's go.
A rattled Sonji has arrived back at his boat. He removes his gun from a coat pocket, then furiously hurls the garment down. He leans against a table with his head bowed for a moment, thinking things through. Finally, he picks up the gun and walks to the cell door. He opens it and points the gun inside, but a look of horror quickly crosses his face, and he lowers the weapon. Megan's gone. He steps away, slamming the door behind him. It's early morning at the Roses' house. Flanagan's sitting at a table inside. Her arms are folded and she's staring into space. Cross takes a seat next to her.
That's wrong.
I blew it, that's what's wrong. I had a shot right before he hit the hydrant. But instead of pulling the trigger, I was thinking. I was thinking!
Yeah, you were thinking possibly your shot going astray and blowing Sonja's head off, in which case...
We would never find Megan, I know that.
Well then, don't beat yourself up for being prudent.
Alex, you don't get it. I was trained to shoot first and think later,
Jesse, for heaven's sake. If you hadn't convinced me to stay there, Sonja would have two victims instead of one. Plus, we'd have an international incident on our hands. You did good.
Yes, but still, I...
You did good. Anything?
Not yet. We're sitting on the area.
Chief, Sonja's on the phone.
Cross and Flanagan follow MacArthur through the house, which is busy with police and FBI agents. The Roses join them at some recording equipment.
Sonji?
Detective Cross, I'm going to explain how the agenda has changed. You're going to bring me 10 million in diamonds, 0.5 carat, color D, clarity SI2, in a thermos, 9 hours. If the stones are rigged, laser tagged, irradiated, the girl dies. Does that penetrate?
It does.
I'll call back. 4 p.m. sharp.
He beat the trace.
Clock's ticking, people. Let's move this downtown. Let's go.
Two FBI agents stand by as a smartly dressed man empties a tray of diamonds into a metal flask. Cross, MacArthur, and the rest of the FBI team stare apprehensively at a speaker as the phone rings out. Hickley answers the call.
Dr. Cross.
I'm here.
The Watergate. 20 minutes. There's a package for Mr. Antwerp.
Okay, people, let's move.
Yeah. Don't lose me, kiddo.
You won't even see me.
Flanagan hands Cross the flask, and he climbs behind the wheel of a black sports car. Driving it out of an underground car park, he's followed by three other vehicles, two of which peel away as he passes through a crossroads junction. Cross approaches the famous Watergate Hotel, a modern building rising about 15 stories high. He parks near the main entrance, and a top-hatted porter opens his car door for him. His face etched with concern, Cross moves through the hotel's foyer over polished checkered flooring and approaches a dark-haired receptionist.
Hi, how are you?
Different packets for Mr. Antwerp.
Yes.
She searches post on the counter in front of her. As she does, Cross hears a ringing from a box behind her.
Over there, that.
She checks the name on it and passes it to Cross with a bemused expression. He hurriedly opens it and brings the mobile phone inside to his ear.
Cross.
Leave the phone. Leave the car. Pennsylvania 6th, the fountain. 14 minutes. Run.
Thanks.
Mac, you there?
Alex.
You made me ditch the car. Looks like it's a running game. I'm on my way to
6th and Pennsylvania.
I'm left and behind you, Alex.
Cross weaves through traffic on foot. He's wearing light blue jeans, a white shirt buttoned up under a black V-neck, a khaki jacket and a trench coat. Running through light drizzle over wet pavements, he finally reaches the fountain, which is bustling with people. He scans the area.
Bearing on to Pennsylvania.
A public phone rings. Cross stares at it, then hurriedly answers.
Cross.
12th and Madison. 12 minutes will get you there. Go.
He hangs up and runs.
Unit 3, loop on 23rd Street. Unit 6, take K Street and double back.
Flanagan's 4x4 swerves across a reservation as Cross sprints between lanes of traffic.
You've got four units on top, Alex.
At a gridlocked junction above an underpass, Cross answers another ringing payphone.
Cross.
4 minutes, Union Station, main entrance.
Jesse.
Union Station, main entrance.
It's rush hour. He's drawn him into a crowd.
The sun's come out. Cross passes a memorial before heading through the grand pillared entrance of Union Station. Upon entering the bustling transport hub, with its glass-panelled high-arched ceiling, a breathless Cross stops. As he pulls a hanky from his coat to dab his glistening brow, a man standing beside a bank of payphones answers one that's ringing.
Hey! Hey! Don't answer that!
I think it's on me. Cross!
The line goes dead. Cross curses under his breath. At a loss, he waits by the phone. But then becomes aware of a digital ring emanating from a nearby waste bin. He dashes over and fishes out a mobile and wired earpiece.
Cross.
Keep this phone. Take the metro. Platform A. You got 2 minutes. Go.
He sets off. Flanagan pulls up.
Jesse, metro, downstairs, platform A.
Flanagan dashes into the station. Cross has made it to the busy subway platform. Still en route, Flanagan shows her ID to a police officer.
Cross.
Go to the center of the platform.
As Cross is obeying the kidnapper's demands, Flanagan descends some steps and appears a short distance along the bustling platforms. Cross takes up position midway between the two, as trains pull in on either side, travelling in opposite directions. Still clasping the metal thermos flask, he looks about with growing anxiety. Keeping a discreet distance, Flanagan casts him the odd surreptitious glance. The doors to both trains slide open, and gradually the platform begins to clear.
Track 15, go!
Cross darts into a carriage. Further along, Flanagan has to hold closing doors to make it. The train starts to draw away from the station, and Flanagan sets off towards the carriage Cross is in. Meanwhile, he's checking the faces of commuters around him. The train hurtles out of a tunnel into bright daylight and a tree-lined track. At a cautious pace, Cross picks his way past people, still wearing the phone's earpiece. Flanagan enters the carriage from the rear connecting door. She spots Cross's familiar trench coat up ahead.
You there yet?
Yeah, I'm there.
Go to the left side. Open the window.
These windows don't open.
You're a smart detective. Improvise. Quickly.
Showing his badge.
Police officer. What? Everybody down.
Get down. Everybody down.
Come on. Out of the way.
Cross shields his face as he shoots out a window with his sidearm.
Ready? All right. Now, throw.
Cross chucks the flask of diamonds out the broken window, and it lands at the feet of a figure clad in black waiting at the trackside. Unable to make any kind of identification, he turns back into the carriage and shares a frustrated look with Flanagan.
You can neither confirm nor deny that Gary Sonji was involved in the incident on the MTA train this morning.
We've heard rumors that a ransom was paid. Can you comment on this?
I can't comment on any of that.
What about Megan Rose?
Sonji's watching MacArthur's press conference on TV.
I'm not going to comment on his mental stability. Draw your own conclusions. Now, Senator Rose has agreed to make a statement. He's not going to answer any questions.
The file on Sonja is still on your kitchen table?
Yeah, why?
I'm going to have another look at it. This business about the diamonds, money, I didn't see it coming.
While Senator Rose makes his statement on TV, Sonja is busy calling up identities of various people on a laptop. Flanagan's appears.
Secondly,
a red brick apartment block nestling by trees with an ivy-clad entrance.
This is worse than killing time.
Yeah, but you'd be amazed at how often the small, neglected things become the most important. Just got a feeling we are missing something.
Maybe I'm in the wrong line of work. Maybe I should take on something less challenging.
You do what you are, Jesse.
You mean you are what you do?
No, I mean you do what you are. You're born with a gift. If not that, then you get good at something along the way. And what you're good at, you don't take for granted. You don't betray it.
What if you do betray your gift?
Then you betray yourself. That's a sad thing.
Flanagan breaks from his gaze.
Who is it?
Cross reaches for his sidearm as Sonji tasers Flanagan the moment she opens her door. The two men have each other at gunpoint.
Gary Sonji.
Hi, Alex. Now, right hand, thumb and forefinger. Just give me the gun. Alex, you can't shoot me. You'll never find Megan.
Without breaking Sonji's supremely confident gaze, Cross slowly lowers his weapon and holds it out, hilt first. Sonji pockets the shock device in his charcoal trench coat and then takes the handgun from the detective.
Sit down, Alex.
Cross lowers himself onto a sofa, his eyes never leaving those of his foe, who sits on the edge of a chair opposite.
I'm a little concerned, Alex. I'm a little worried that you don't really care to understand me anymore, that you won't paint an accurate portrait. And I need you to convince me that I'm wrong.
Well, in order to do that, we're going to have to talk about Megan Rose.
No bargaining, Alex. No cheap interrogation techniques. It's transparent and it's clumsy. This is between me and you. I want you to see. I want you to look inside here and tell me what the fuck you see. I'm a gift to you, Alex. I'm a gift to you. And you are beyond pitiful if you cannot understand that. I'm living proof that the mind is a terrible thing.
Sonji leans forward in silent laughter. Cross remains stoic.
I see you've got your sense of humor back. I wondered what happened to it during the ransom drop.
The ransom drop.
It was a well-earned $12 million.
$12 million.
Senator Rose says he can pull strings. He says he can fix it so you keep the $12 million and walk. All you have to do is return the child. Where is Megan?
Where's Megan? Where's Megan?
Where's Behind Megan? Sonji, Where's Megan? Flanagan's Where's regaining Megan? Consciousness.
She's trapped in my boat, Alex, isn't that right? Or maybe she's stuck in a warehouse somewhere, floating in a river, swinging from the end of a rope, buried alive.
Sonji gives a profoundly sad smile.
I envy her.
Cross frowns.
What would life have been like with parents like that?
Come on, Gary. Blaming your parents for what you are.
I'm not blaming them, Alex. They've been punished already. I burned down the house while I slept.
The confession causes Cross to lift his head slightly.
I was 15 years old.
Was it what you expected?
Not really. It was a new experience.
What? Killing?
No. Being in the newspapers. So, in your opinion, Doctor, were my actions triggered by nature or nurture?
If you want me to be brutally honest, I think you just have a morbid desire to burn in hell.
Flanagan's reaching into her pocket.
We're done for today.
Without looking towards Flanagan,
I'm taking her with me.
He hauls her to her feet by her hair.
You're not taking her anywhere.
I'll send her back to you. Just tell me which pace you want first.
Brandishing a knife, Flanagan stabs Sonji's thigh. He pistol whips her to the floor, but in the distraction, Cross loads the Turkish shotgun.
Alex!
He steps out, and as Sonji takes aim, fires. The force of the shot sends Sonji flying back against a wall. The detective drops the weapon to check on Flanagan, who's staring at the body in floods of tears.
What have you done? What have you done? Residents of this normally quiet suburb are still in shock as news of the shooting of Gary Sonji, who was America's most wanted man, filtered through their community. Apparently, Sonji attempted to confront or even harm members of the kidnapping task force hunting him.
So he came after Jesse as payback for Dimitri.
Ostensibly, yeah.
That's all you want on the record?
Yeah, for now.
MacArthur stops an audio recording device, then spots the roses.
There they come.
Both men climb out of the 4x4 they're in as the senator stalks over with his wife in tow.
Dr. Cross, tell me you have at least an idea of where my little girl is.
I'm sorry, sir, I can't.
You kill the one man that has the answers, and you're telling me you haven't a clue? Not one clue? The man walked in the fucking room and
Senator,
you shot him.
Standing in his shoes, I'd have done the same thing, sir.
Well, that's your job, not his. He's supposed to find my little girl, not shoot the man knows where she is.
Senator.
MacArthur goes after Mr. Rose, and faced with Mrs. Rose's silent torment, Cross hangs his head.
It's not over. The book is not closed.
Welling up, she turns and rejoins her husband waiting nearby. A medic checks Flanagan's pupils. She's perched on a curb and lowers an ice pack from her temple as coroners wheel Sonji's body away in a black bag. When Cross comes over, she stands.
Alex. Thank you for saving my life.
Bye, Jess.
On the verge of tears, she shakes his hand and shuffles back towards her apartment as MacArthur returns.
You want to hear something funny, Mac?
Sure. Cheer me up.
I congratulated Sonji on scoring $12 million.
You mean 10 million?
Exactly. He had no idea what I was talking about.
A mouse scurries into a crack in a corner of a dingy barn. Disheveled, Megan looks up from it towards a simple wooden chair beside a crate. Beyond them, hazy light filters through a ceiling grate. A dark-haired man enters with a tray of food and a glass of milk, which he sets on the crate.
I know you. You work at my school.
Eat your food, Megan.
Ben Devine hastily walks out, locking the door behind him. Megan's brow furrows. She studies the tray and picks a metal fork up from it, which she then stares at thoughtfully. At the school, MacArthur observes Cross using his wristwatch to time his descent from some stairs to Megan's classroom. Cross taps the watch, turning something over in his mind. He then nods to his bemused colleague before proceeding to time the walk along a wood-paneled corridor to an office by some lockers. After a moment, he turns to MacArthur.
Alex, where is this going?
Cross directs his attention to a CCTV camera.
We've been through these tapes backwards and forwards. I can't see how this is helping us find Megan.
You know what I see, Mac? Someone was on the Sonja long before we ever heard of him. Look at this. What do you see?
Agent Devine hauling ass out to the front gate.
Mac, he could have shut this whole place down from right there. Now, you want to tell me why he didn't?
MacArthur straightens up as the penny drops.
God. Devine was in on it with him. Then when Sonji hit the embassy, he pulled a double cross. He ran his own ransom.
No. Sonji was a loner. An accomplice would have been beneath him. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Sonja was hoodwinked. And so were we.
Details are still emerging, but this much is clear. The manhunt that began over a week ago in the nation's capital came to a violent end late yesterday with the death of kidnapper Gary Sonji.
Hearing a noise, Devine switches off a TV, stubs out a cigarette in an ashtray on a table beside his armchair, and stands, drawing his sidearm as he does so. He crosses a living room quietly, listening for sounds. Hearing nothing, he holsters his weapon and heads out into the hall.
Don't move. Turn around, hands on the wall, feet apart.
Hi, Jez. Where'd you come from?
You know something, Divine? You're pretty stupid. Your car in the driveway? The TV's so loud you wouldn't be able to hear a SWAT team come in.
What are you doing?
Shut up!
She spins him round and rests her gun under his chin, then smiles. Once she has lowered her weapon, he cradles her face and they kiss passionately.
Where's Megan?
She's in the barn. She was so doped up, I don't think she even knew I took her off the boat.
She's still alive? You were supposed to dump her in the river after you got the diamonds.
Yeah, well, maybe killing a kid is something I'm not prepared to do on my own. Anyway, today, tomorrow, it's still gonna look like Sonja killed her.
She can't die after Sonja, you idiot.
It doesn't make any difference, you know why? They're never gonna find the body.
Flanagan ponders, but remains unconvinced.
Okay. I'll go do it now. Will that make you happy?
Yeah, it would. Wait.
He turns back to her, gun in hand. She breaks into a naughty smile.
Can I see them?
His expression softens. He mouths his acceptance and moves away into the kitchen. Flanagan's smile broadens in anticipation. Divine returns with the flask.
Hey, do you realize that we spent an entire year following Sanji's every move? I think we deserve these.
He's removed the lid. She tips some diamonds onto her palm.
That beats the hell out of a Secret Service pension, huh?
Hmm.
Profiling the profiler. Kidnap from the kidnapper, that's brilliant. You are a genius, Jez.
Genius has nothing to do with it. I'm just good at what I do.
Well, didn't hurt that everyone else involved was a complete halfwit.
You think Alex Cross is a halfwit? You really believe that he shot Sanji to save my life? Cross pulled the trigger because he knew Sanji didn't have Megan anymore.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that sooner or later he's gonna figure it out. He already knows Sanji didn't run the ransom.
He's onto us already, isn't he?
No, he's not onto us. But I think he's on to you.
He glanced away and she shot him in the head. Cross kicks down the door to Flanagan's apartment and ventures inside with his weapon drawn as it swings to. The place is dimly lit by the odd lamp and what little street light spills in through open blinds. Cross checks along a hall. Satisfied there's no one home, he holsters his weapon and settles in front of a nearby computer. Having turned it on, he leafs through a black diary-sized book on the desk, but then a window pops up on the monitor, prompting him to enter user information, including a password. He rubs his chin. At the farmhouse, Flanagan's wrapped Divine's corpse in bin bags and is just finishing taping them up. She pauses to brush her shoulder-length blonde hair behind her ears and then rises to her feet. Cross finds his name written and circled in red with an arrow pointing to a paragraph of highlighted text in a book he wrote entitled Inside Their Minds, Profiling Serial Killers. His train of thought is broken by three framed photographs on a shelf opposite. He gets up to study the portraits. An elderly man with a pipe and fedora-style hat, a young dour girl, and a woman with a warm smile. He sucks his teeth slightly, then looks at the shotgun in an evidence bag on the table.
It's Turkish. My daddy won it in a game of poker. That's about as much as I know about my father.
The flashback makes him return to the computer desk, and he types aces and eights in as the password. It grants him access to her desktop, and he immediately begins searching files. Images and details of his career appear, then of Sonji, him in prosthetics, and the Sea Dreamer boat. Other folders contain details and surveillance photos of Dimitri, of the school, its security, and of Megan. But Cross sits up upon discovering a for-lease advert for a farmhouse in Lovettsville, Virginia. In the dead of night, Flanagan descends steps from the porch of the farmhouse and traipses a short distance across wild grass towards the barn. On the way, she passes Divine's car, parked on the drive and bathed in moonlight. Megan's being held in a side room of the barn, and she's using the fork to lever out a wooden board acting as part of the barn wall. Flanagan slides the barn's main door open and crosses to the side room door with a set of keys. As she unlocks a bulky padlock, Megan's levering becomes more desperate. But when Flanagan tries to push the door open, Megan's blocked it on the other side with a grotty metal bed frame.
Megan? Megan, it's me, honey.
Jesse? Jesse! Jesse, I'm in here! Jesse!
Open up, honey. I'm gonna take you home. It's all over.
Yeah, sure. Just hold on a second.
Flanagan smiles wickedly, but then Megan suddenly stops trying to shift the bed.
Jesse?
Yeah, honey?
What happened to that other guy?
He's dead, Megan. You're safe now. Open up.
Jesse?
Yeah, honey?
Why isn't there anyone else with you?
Megan, it's me. Now don't be scared of me. Open the door.
Megan backs away behind a beam.
Megan, I'm gonna ask you one more time to open the door. Right now, open the door. Open the door, honey. Listen to me. Open the door. Megan, open the fucking door. Open it, bitch.
Flanagan kicks it and then angrily draws her gun. Megan huddles tightly as bullets rip through the door and wall, impacting around her. Megan's left traumatized and tearful. Having emptied her magazine, Flanagan calmly steps forward and peers through one of the bullet holes. Megan tries hard not to move a muscle, but whimpers slightly. Flanagan deftly releases the clip and replaces it with a new one, then puts the padlock back on the door. Megan hyperventilates fearfully. Flanagan moves away from the door and starts to climb a ladder to the hayloft. Once there, she takes out her gun again and makes for the ceiling grate above Megan's holding room. The scared young girl spots her and snatches up a cutlery knife from the floor nearby. Climbing onto the upturned bed, she uses the knife to smash the room's light bulb.
Very clever, Megan.
But Flanagan has a handy little torch. She shines it down into the room through the grate. Megan darts over to wallboard she was trying to lever open and sets to work. She yanks the board away and manages to scurry through before Flanagan can get off an accurate shot. As Flanagan's coming down from the hayloft, Megan scurries away into the shadowy recesses of a stable area. Suddenly, a man grabs her and clasps a hand around her mouth. It's Cross. He keeps his hand over her mouth, but she stops struggling, and Cross peers round from behind a bale to see Flanagan approaching, her torch sweeping through the darkness. Cross presses himself and Megan back out of Flanagan's sight, and she moves off to the left. When he's satisfied it's safe to do so, he gently releases Megan. But holds a finger to his lips, a silent instruction for her to keep quiet and remain where she is. He then steps out into the open several meters behind Flanagan.
Jesse? It's over. Drop the gun.
She keeps her back to him.
Alex. How did you...
Ace is an ace, Jesse. Plus your timing was a little off. I watched the tapes. You and Divine could have stopped Sonji at the school. Just like you could have stopped him at the Russian embassy. But you had a different agenda.
You know something, Alex? When you said you do what you are, you were right. I'm living proof.
Put the gun down, Jesse.
She's now facing him, and with glistening eyes gives him a sad frown.
Would you kill another partner?
You're not my partner.
Her furrows deepen, a tear falls, and she takes aim. Cross fires first, causing Flanagan to jolt and lose aim. Blood seeping from a chest wound near her heart, she collapses to the barn floor. Even then, Cross approaches her with caution, his gun at the ready. He comes to her side, crouches down, and slides the gun from her hand. Then reaches out to check for a pulse in her neck. Slowly, he settles back on his haunches and stares down at her with somber disappointment. Huddled in the shadows behind the bale where she was left, Megan lifts her tearful gaze to Cross as he comes back for her. His expression a mixture of warmth and concern, he crouches down a few feet from her.
You all right?
She nods.
You're a very brave girl, Megan.
Who are you?
I'm a policeman.
He lightly throws her his badge.
My name is Alex Cross. I'm a friend of your parents.
She looks up, filling with hope.
Can you take me to them?
Nothing would give me greater pleasure.
He asks her to help him up.
Could you... thanks.
Then puts an arm on her shoulder and leads her out.